On this episode of Newt's World, this is part two of our investigation into the amazing $31 billion unemployment fraud in the EDD department in California. As I looked more closely at the estimated $31 billion stolen from California's EDD system, I was told that unlike Washington State, where the Nigerian cyber criminals took the bulk of the money, in California, it was a wide range of different kinds of criminals who took the money. I was shocked to learn there was a whole network of criminals in prison, not just in California, but across the country, who stole much of the $31 billion. I wanted to turn to somebody who has been studying this issue of EDD theft by prisoners and better understand how a fraud of this huge proportion could have happened. And I'm really pleased to introduce my guest, who's been one of the great courageous pioneers in taking on what may be the largest act of theft in American history. Anne Marie Schubert currently serves as the district attorney for Sacramento County, California. Anne Marie, thank you for joining me. And I want to start by saying, how did this first come to your attention?
Well, good morning, Speaker. Thank you for having me. It first came to my attention through a series of emails from other DAs across California asking a group of us, hey, is anybody seeing fraud in the prisons? And a district attorney up in Northern California who has a few prisons saying, hey, I'm seeing some fraud. Is anybody else seeing this? And then an inquiry started going out. And then we heard that another district attorney had charged some local jail inmates with fraud. And then I started kind of pushing the issue with McGregor Scott, who's our U.S. attorney. He represents the federal system for many counties. And that's when really, as I say it, the tsunami started to be recognized of what we are about to see.
Did it shock you both the scale and the degree to which the prisoners while in jail were being successful at stealing?
I think it was absolutely staggering. When we really started to dive into it and then we started getting the list, that, you know, we had waited for a period of time to get a list in return to a search warrant that was served on the Department of Labor. And then when we realized there were 35,000 claims just for the state prison population, once we got the list, I spent the weekend going through that list and I immediately started to look to see what types of people are we talking about here. And I focused in on, oh my goodness, there better not be people on death row here. And in fact, there were people, and many of them, obviously the death row population is the worst of the worst. But then when you started to look at the data, the magnitude was so overwhelming. And really the brazenness of it was just really despicable to see that how easy it was, really shocked the conscience. I'm not sure we're ever gonna know the amount, but it's gonna be billions and billions of dollars that has been ripped off from the state of California.
Walk me through this for a second. Now, I'm sitting there on death row and I decide I want to steal some money. How do I do that?
There's a couple ways they do it, but I mean, unfortunately in our prison system, inmates get their hands on contraband cell phones. It's a big problem. The corrections department does a lot to try to stop it. They can either use what they call a wall phone. They have access to phones to call friends and families from the prison. They either use that or they use a contraband cell phone. And then what they were doing is they give their information, social security number, name, all that stuff to people on the outside. And those people on the outside filed their claims. And because this system was so inept and poorly managed, and the fact that people could backdate those claims, they had to just file these claims and they just filed the claim, said, oh yeah, I was working as of March 20th, 2020. And so then they would just have drop addresses, as we call them, so that many of them were fake addresses, PO boxes. There was really no oversight into making sure that these claims were legitimate. And so you've got hundreds, if not thousands of claims being sent to one, as I call them, a drop address, an address that was just designed to be a place where they could have all these debit cards sent. So there's lots of ways that they're committing it. You know, they would ask their cellmates or they'd ask their other cohorts in prison, hey, give me your information, we'll get some money. And then oftentimes the inmates were conceivably getting what we call kickbacks. So money put on their books, packages sent to them, to the prison through Amazon, lots of ways they were getting chunks of this money, but the large amount of money was going to people on the outside.
Were those people just relatives, or were they part of an organized crime system?
I think there's both. Some people call them like one-offs, meaning that, you know, one person says, oh, I'm going to get lucky here, and so my girlfriend does the claim for me. I think there's a significant amount that's being organized by prison gangs. And we know this from what's happening on the streets of California, that there's a link between all of this fraud and the massive gun violence that's occurring in our communities across California.
I mean, you're getting a very large increase in the number of shootings and murders, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, really across the country, particularly in major urban cities, there's a significant rise in gun violence. And it's particularly true in California. What we're seeing on the streets now is that when people are getting arrested for gang violence, gun violence, drug crimes, there also happens to be EDD evidence in their possession as well. Unfortunately, in my opinion, this fraud has funneled the funds that they need to buy these guns and to perpetuate crime in our communities.
There are three examples that I find amazing. One is, isn't there one place in California that got like 1,700 checks at the same address?
Yes. So the state auditor came out with a report a couple of weeks ago that was just blistering on how failed the system has been in terms of detecting it. And this has been going on for so long. And I honestly think if the DAs hadn't kind of blown this up, we'd be sitting in the same position today of fraud being perpetuated. But the state auditor found that there was 1,700 claims that went to one address. And it's just shocking. And it's probably millions of dollars without any oversight that went just to one address. And we know from the state audit that fraud was suspected of probably a 500,000 claims being sent to 26,000 addresses.
The very fact that the system is so incapable of self-correction that it would send off 1,700 checks to the same address and not notice that that was probably not very smart tells you something about how bureaucratically incompetent the system is.
Yes. I mean, EDD has known for years. They actually had a system in place to do this cross-matching. And that was through a federal grant. That I think that grant was in 2013, but then they chose to shut it off in 2016 because they didn't want to have to pay the $2 million, apparently. And now we're sitting here with potentially $30 billion in loss.
So wait a second. So the system was costing $2 million a year?
So in 2013, I believe it was, EDD got a grant through a company that's now owned by Thomson Reuters. The company was called Pondera at the time, and they got a grant to do this fraud detection work. And then the grant ran out, which is typical, but the EDD chose not to continue any kind of fraud detection system at that time. So even though they knew, I mean, they did legislative reports telling them we need to get a cross match, we need to do this. So in 2018, they had a report to the legislature saying, oh yeah, we need to do a cross match. 2019, they had the same report. June of 2020, even after the pandemic started, they issued a report to the legislature again saying we need to do a cross match. And so they didn't do it. And then when it all blew up in November, when we blew the whistle on all of this, then they got the system in place. Now, there's still significant gaps in the system. I will say they've made some significant improvements because of really what we've now discovered.
The other two examples were, if I remember correctly, Dianne Feinstein got an unemployment check.
There was a report to that. I think somebody was arrested by the U.S. Attorney's Office that had filed a claim under her name. I mean, that's the thing about it. You look at the list, and like I mentioned at the press conference, you know, you got a claim in the name of John Doe.
You would think that was fairly obvious, wouldn't you?
There was no system. It was just basically a rubber stamping. I mean, somebody in my office made the comment, it's almost like we just flew over the prisons and dropped all the money.
You have this system that's dealing with literally billions and billions of dollars, and they had two staff members who were reviewing claims manually.
Well, the problem was is they didn't have a fraud detection system like 35 other states did. And because they didn't have that, they were just, like I said, rubber stamping the payment of claims. And even if they suspected it, then they only had two people that would then have to go in and manually check these things. It was just a poorly managed system.
So, and in that process, you also had, if I understand it, people from prisons as far away as Florida applying for California unemployment.
Yes. I mean, when we started to realize that there were people sitting in prison in Florida, I think for murder, that they were making claims to the California system. It's not just bad enough that our own inmates are doing it, but now the out-of-state inmates realize California is the easy pickings. And, you know, that gap has not yet been filled. As far as I know, we don't have a system that's going to say, let's make sure that the inmates in other states are not fleecing the California taxpayers as well.
The scale of this is really large. You had a couple of comparative numbers in terms of how much bigger this fraud is than some of the operating systems of the California government.
To say a number, $30 billion, you have to really put that into perspective. And so when I started to put it into perspective, I said, okay, let's just compare it to our state budget. It's 2 times the budget of the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. 2 times. We have 100,000 people in prison that costs, whatever, $50,000 a year to house them. And then you realize it's twice that. I mean, you can look at the education budget or you can look at transportation budget. Sometimes I sarcastically say, maybe we could have fixed the homeless problem with $30 billion.
I think you said somewhere that's half of the entire K through 12 education budget.
Staggering is the best way to describe it. It's staggering.
We went out and checked. If you could take the $30 billion, you could eliminate all taxes in the 5 least expensive states in the country. Their entire budgets collectively are less than $30 billion.
Yeah, there's probably countries in this world that don't have budgets that high.
That's right. So it's really amazing. Is it now getting fixed?
Well, there's definitely, you know, efforts now to fix a lot of it. I mean, within a very short period of time, EDD had the contract now established to do the cross-match. With that said, the state auditor has recognized that there's still some significant gaps. You know, not all jails do cross-matching. So that's a big gap, too. If I get arrested in a certain county in California, I could still try to fleece the citizens and the taxpayers. But I will say that I think that there's obviously immense pressure to fix these issues. There's still a long way to go. The amount of investigations and prosecutions that need to take place to hold these people accountable is astronomical. And the amount of money that's needed to do that is also astronomical because we have to be able to investigate and prosecute them.
Well, does it strike you as slightly weird that given this scale of theft from her department, that Julie Hsu, who's the head of it, has actually been nominated by Biden for a major job in the Department of Labor? I mean, talk about being promoted upward through your failures. That's part of what really surprised me, is that the Biden administration, both taking Susie Levine out of Washington State, where there was $600 million in mostly Nigerian cybercrime, and then taking Julie Hsu out of California, where there's $31 billion. It strikes me that the administration is a little insensitive to the idea of taxpayers getting ripped off.
Well, I think without getting into the politics of any of these appointments, she's come out, I think, publicly and said, listen, we can't sugarcoat the problem here. It is a massive problem that's occurred here in California. And, you know, we have to be willing to acknowledge this if we're going to go fix it. But it is a massive issue. As much as some folks might want to blame the feds, really the blame rests with the state of California and the EDD department. You cannot sugarcoat this and you cannot try to pivot, in my opinion, because this has been known. It's been known for many years. They had a system in place and they chose to shut it off because they didn't want to spend the money. That's the bottom line.
Was that system called ID.me?
Once the pandemic hit and ED started having, you know, major issues with backlogs and starting to see suspicious claims, Governor Newsom did this strike team thing with some recommendations. You know, unfortunately, there was nobody on that strike team that is a law enforcement that understands fraud. But one of the things that ultimately came out of that was this implementation of this thing called ID.me. Before this program ID.me was started, you could just do a claim. You didn't have to show proof of identification. So now when someone files a claim, you have to at least show your driver's license. I mean, I still think there's ways that the crooks get around it. but it is a system that will stop a lot of fraud.
Doesn't Bank of America play a major role in all this?
Well, Bank of America obviously has a contract with ADD, and they were the ones responsible for issuing the debit cards. And so there's been a lot of history about freezing cards, unfreezing cards. You know, the hard part is people need to not lose sight of the fact there are innocent people out there that are entitled to benefits that have lost their jobs because of the pandemic, and they're the victims because they're not getting their funds that they're entitled to. But then you also now have massive amount of victims who have been the victims of identity theft who are now getting federal 1099 forms saying you got to pay taxes on the money you never got. So there's a huge amount of people that have been impacted as a result of all of this.
That would really make you pretty irritated if you suddenly got a tax bill for a check you'd never received and then found out that actually the check had gone to a criminal.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd be furious about it. And then to find out that these criminals are using that money to perpetuate crime on the streets of California is even more of a gut punch.
To what extent have the district attorneys who've been elected with Soros's help, to what extent have they been willing to go after this, and to what extent do they just shrug it off?
Quite frankly, I'm not sure any of them have done anything. As soon as we realized the magnitude of this, the DA's Association created a statewide task force on this. I'm the chair of the task force. We've invited all elected DAs to be participants, to understand how it works, to how to investigate it. I think you need to talk to George Gascon or Chesa Bodine from San Francisco and ask them what they're doing, because I haven't seen anything yet. Listen, we're never going to be able to prosecute all these people, but there is a population of them that are very, very violent criminals, that are members of gangs, that are perpetuating guns, drugs, violence on the streets, perhaps human trafficking. And those are the folks that every Californian should be concerned about, no matter where you live, no matter your politics. And, you know, I am very confident that it's occurring in Los Angeles County. It's occurring in San Francisco. We know it's happening in every jurisdiction in our state. And we can't just pretend like it didn't happen.
I think very few people realize how big the challenge is and how much money is involved now. And we've been talking to people at the Heritage Foundation who are tracking this. And they say there are smaller but similar problems in, I think, Maryland and Illinois and Louisiana. So it's at least five states that have had a significant amount of illegal claims and have paid out substantial amounts of money.
It all comes back to the failure of our state to have this system in place. We tout ourselves that California is the most technologically savvy state in the country. We're the biggest state in the union. Yet 35 other states, including very small states, have this system in place, and we chose not to do it. It's just a bitter pill to swallow.
I gather there are now plans to go ahead and implement a more sophisticated system.
The DAs are working with the folks from the governor's office and Office of Emergency Services to try to get some systems in place to try to, as I keep saying, to slow the spigot down and stop the bleeding here. So I definitely think we're on a good path. It's not perfect yet, and there's still significant gaps. We can't stop what happened in the past. We can only hopefully prevent it in the future.
At least it's a serious wake-up call about the need to have sophisticated systems, because you're now up against people who understand how to game the system if there's no check on it.
Yeah, it's a very, very expensive wake-up call is what it was. I just keep saying this. It's not just about the money that's been lost. It's the fact that we have basically allowed taxpayer dollars to fund guns, gangs, drugs, and whatever else type of crime on the streets of California. That, to me, is the most significant impact of this fleecing of California money.
Well, listen, thank you very much for taking this kind of time. And I really am grateful that you would help educate us on what's going on in the largest state in the country. And I look forward to seeing you sometime when I get a chance to come to California.
All right. Thank you, Speaker. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you to my guest, Anne Marie Schubert. You can read more about the $31 billion California EDD fraud on our show page at newsworld.com. Newt's World is produced by Gingrich 360 and iHeartMedia. Our executive producer is Debbie Myers. Our producer is Garnsey Sloan, and our researcher is Rachel Peterson. The artwork for the show was created by Steve Pendler. Special thanks to the team at Gingrich 360. If you've been enjoying Newt's World, I hope you'll go to Apple Podcasts and both rate us with 5 stars and give us a review so others can learn what it's all about. Right now, listeners of Newt's World can sign up for my 3 free weekly columns at gingrich360.com/newsletter. I'm Newt Gingrich. This is Newt's World.